Scripture reading is John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Going to read the message scripture, which is from Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. I'm happy again to be in your midst to say, thus said the Lord. I want to say that I'm truly blessed to be here, and I continue to say that I praise God for you all, because I feel that we are all just one family. I'm happy that you all are my family and you all have been great. And I praise God for the opportunity of teaching the evangelism class. I praise God for the opportunity of being a witness here for the gospel. I want us to turn in our scripture. Keep your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be looking at the text in a moment. But I want us to just bow for a short prayer. Our Father, we come to you again to say thank you. Thank you for being so great. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word, that Father, you will speak to us. That Lord, you will teach us. That Lord, you will show us what you want us to learn. And Father, I pray again that you will just hide me behind the cross so that more of you will be seen and less of me will be seen. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John paints a beautiful picture of the interaction between the Lord Jesus and Peter. When Jesus asked him the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon and John and Peter said, "You know I love you." Again, the third time when Jesus asked this same question, he said to Peter, Feed my sheep. Peter was given the huge responsibility of feeding the flock of God. Like the Apostle Peter, we pastors have been given this huge responsibility also to feed the flock of God. The job of feeding the flock is not just something the pastor does weekdays in the morning, early morning till late afternoon. It does not only involve preaching on Sunday morning, teaching a Bible class, officiating at weddings, funerals, and other events. It is a 7/24 assignment. When a pastor leaves the church office and goes home, he is still doing his pastoral duties. He is engaging in intercessory prayer, praying for every member of the church. When he experiences difficulty in his family, when he goes through some hard situations in life, he remains calm. Why? Why? It's all because he wants to be an example to the flock. He focuses his attention on the flock. A good pastor keeps thinking on his congregation all through the day. Even when he's on vacation, he keeps on thinking on what he can do in order to serve the church and meet needs for the flock. In a moment, we shall look at a pastor who exemplified these traits in his ministry. When he was arrested for preaching the gospel and put in jail, he never ceased to keep on his knees praying. He never ceased to keep thinking on his flock and how he could minister the word of God to them. When the Roman authorities thought they were putting an end to the spread of the gospel by locking the Apostle Paul in jail, it was just the beginning of how the Spirit of the living God would use this shepherd to advance the spread of the gospel and to build up the first century church as well as the churches all over the world. While he was in jail, the Apostle Paul began to write letters to the church at Philippi, a church that he has started. And what he writes, it has relevance for us today. First, it has relevance for us today in the first congregational church. And from the reading of this all-important letter, I title of my message, The Shepherd's Flock, The Shepherd's Heart for His Flock. The Shepherd's Heart for His Flock. Paul is writing a thank you letter for the financial support the Philippian church had given him while in prison. Notice how he starts his letter. Having mentioned the Philippians, he said, "Grace and peace to you, and from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." What is it that God wishes for the people at Philippi? That Paul is using this magnificent, significant, extraordinary salutation. What is it that God wishes for the people at First Congregational Church in Henson, Mass? What is it that God wishes for all of you who are gathered together in His name, in the name of Christ? Paul wrote 13 letters that we know for sure and are preserved in the Bible. His opening words in these letters are just about the same. He said, "Grace and peace to you, and from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Why did he use these words to greet his congregation? I believe that he wanted them to grasp these spiritual truths right from the very beginning, so that if they will remember nothing from his letter, that they will remember God's purpose for their lives. This is the same trust that Paul has for you today as you read his letter. so that if you remember nothing from listening to his word, from listening to this letter read to you, that you remember God's purpose for you who believe. What is the heart of God for a congregation that have gathered together in his name? What is God's heart for the leadership of this church, for the deacons, the elders, and the overseers? What is the heart of God for you who is just an ordinary member, or perhaps a visitor in our midst today? What is God's heart for you who are lonely, sick, and perhaps having some unfulfilled desires? What is God's heart for you today? What is the heart of God toward you? How will God himself greet you when he sees you? When the angel of the Lord visited Mary, the angel said, "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with you." It is also my concern that if you remember, not remember much from my message, that you remember, that you will know the purpose of God for you, that you will understand that God loves you. And Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The word grace that Paul is using here in his greetings come from the original Greek charis, which means favor. Paul could have given a simple greeting. He could have just said, "Greeting, my brothers and sisters, greetings." But instead, he said, "Grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul wanted to assure all believers of the first century church and all believers today, no matter what you are going through, that God's favor is upon your life. Church, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know much about you. But I know for sure that God's favor is upon my life. The psalmist says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. Grace means unmerited favor. Unlike the other letters that Paul wrote to the other churches when he corrected theological issues, there was no theological problem in this letter to the church at Philippi. There was no false doctrine being practiced in this church. Paul was grateful that this church has supported him financially while in prison. And it seemed as if they did not have the ability to continue supporting him. The circumstance had changed. Paul did not want them to feel sorry for themselves, so he writes to commend them for their previous support. He reminds them of two things. First, he reminds them of their partnership in the gospel. And secondly, he reminds them that God will continue what he started. And this is what the favor of God is all about, church. That he who began this great work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, church, you have 100% surety that God is with you, because what he started in you, he will continue. No matter what you're going through, he is with you. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Paul has a heart for this church. He is not writing, as I want to emphasize, to correct theological problems, but to just encourage them. Like, for example, in other churches, like the church at Corinth, there was a sexual immorality problem. There was a man living with his father's wife, and Paul said, put him out of the church. He said, deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. The Corinthians also had problem with speaking in tongues, so he corrected that problem too. He is writing the church at Philippi to encourage them. And in the process of encouraging them, he's exhorting them. He's encouraging them to look beyond circumstance and to find their joy in Christ Jesus. Are you focusing on your circumstance today, church? When you focus on the problems that you're going through, your God will look like a small God. But when you focus on God, the problem will look so small. Paul's writing is so inspiring that even if you were not part of that first century church, you will still be blessed and encouraged from reading his letter. In his letter, we see the heart of a shepherd for his flock. Instead of just feeling sorry for himself and saying, oh God, why did you put me here? Paul got on his knees and he continued to pray for this church. He took off his pen and began to write letters to this church to encourage them. He has a way of putting his finger on things that are of vital importance to the Christian life. And I want to highlight some of these things that are of vital importance for all of us today. Paul also wanted the Philippians to grasp a very important foundation for ministry. And that foundation is prayer. He wanted to assure them that he was praying for them. Notice what he said in verses 3 and 4. He said, I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version, so your version may have something that looks completely different, but it will be the same idea. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Paul had a vivid mental image of every single member of his church in his mind. During those days, there was no smartphone or camera. But Paul, it seemed as if he had in his hand a printed copies of photographic realistic images of church members in his hand. I can imagine Paul when he woke up every morning, the church at Philippi was just on his mind. And he would go before God and say, God, I thank you. And he communicated those same words in his letter. He thought about them early in the morning when he woke up. He thought about them all through the day. And when it was time to go to bed, it was the last thing on his mind, the church at Philippi. Here we see the loving heart of a shepherd for his flock. As we reflect on the heart of the under shepherd, the Apostle Paul, I want us to reflect for a moment on the heart of the true shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12:2 said, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Let me ask you a question. What was the joy that was set before Jesus that caused him to want to just that caused him to consider the cross? What was that joy? The joy that was before him was the joy of seeing everyone in this church saved. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. The cup of suffering was something like a glass that Christ was looking through. As he looked through the cup, he saw Peter, neither Heiser. He saw each one of you in that cup, in that glass. He saw us before we were even born. He saw all people in the whole world. All people who would give their lives to Him through His sacrifice. As He looked through the cup and saw us, He endured the cross. In verses 9 to 11, He is reinforcing a spiritual truth God told the prophet Micah long, long ago. You know, when the children of Israel came from Egyptian bondage, they did not know how to worship the Lord freely. They were offering sacrifices to God which was not good. And God told the prophet Micah, He said, "Tell the Israelites, tell my people, this is what I'm expecting of them." He said, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." This should be the desire, the goal of every Christian, to walk justly before our God, to love mercy and to walk with humility. Regardless of whatever situation you may find yourself in at this moment, it should be the prayer of your heart to walk humbly before God, to do justice. Let's read verses 9. Let's look at verses 9 to 11. "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, and having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God." What does it mean to be blameless? Notice, He is not saying we should be sinless. He said blameless. Blameless carries the idea of staying away from trouble or not offending other people. I like the King James rendition of these verses. In the King James it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." That should be our goal, to be blameless in this dark world. This world which is so dark all around us. And the Bible says we are light. We should be light in this world. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, wherever God has placed you, that you will be without offense. Amen? One of the reasons why many people have not given their lives to Jesus Christ is because of the sinful lives many Christians are living. Some Christians are engaging in sexual immorality, in all kinds of sins. For some Christians, they are involved with pornography, engaging in different situations, entertaining bad company. No matter why, people cannot see the light in them. Sometimes it's just hard to tell who is the real Christian and who is not. When the unbelievers look at us, what do they see? Do they see us being like the Lord Jesus Christ? Young people are allowing themselves to be carried away by peer pressure, disrespecting their parents, engaging in sinful activities. The scripture says, "Flee youthful lust." And for some parents are being an obstacle to their kids. Instead of bringing the children in a loving discipline, they are not being true examples. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, be without offense. Be without offense. Without offense on the job. Be without offense if you have retired, if you say, "I'm not working." Be without offense in your community. be without offense. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. There is no such thing as gay preachers, gay ministers, homosexual ministers. There should be, people should be living good lives for God. It is not right for us to point finger at people and try to embarrass them, but rather we should pray for them. Because God loves all people. Our world has been so different. We have redefined marriage. I have been hearing a lot about transgender. There is no such thing as transgender. All of these things are an offense to the gospel. You see, Jesus said, offense will come. But what he said, but you should not be the source of offense. In Matthew 18:17, Jesus said, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. Be blameless so that there will be no charges brought against you. This should be your aim, your goal in everyday activity. Whatever you do, that you live to be an example for the believers in word, in deed, in whatsoever you do. A blameless Christian is a powerful tool in the hand of God. A very powerful tool. Paul is encouraging us to live blameless life so that it will be our mentality. Not for a week, not after this message, not for 6 months. He says, until Christ comes, we should be blameless until the day of Christ Jesus. Sometimes, when we are told that we have been offenses, we tend to argue with people. Instead of arguing, just say, sorry, I'm sorry for what happened. Because we want to live in harmony with one another. Even though we are told in Scripture that the old nature was crucified with Christ, this old man tried to come back again and again. We should make every effort to crush the deeds of the flesh, feed the spirit, and starve the flesh. Remember Jesus said the flesh is he said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And at the end of every day, we should examine ourselves to see if we have been offensive, if we have been causing problems. Not only should we be without offense, but he said that we should be filled with the fruit of righteousness. We are not fruit producers. Only the Holy Spirit produces fruit. In Paul's concluding remark, he said to the Philippians that they should be blameless. Not only that they should be blameless, but that they should bear fruits. Fruits of righteousness. When is a good time to show the fruit of righteousness? Is it just when you are in church? Some people have two garments. They have a church robe that they wear. But when they go home, they take off that garment and then they put on a different robe. They have different faces for different occasions. Some people are only good Christians for a while, and then when they go out there, they tend to change. Paul said we should have this fruit of righteousness in us until the day of Christ, until Jesus Christ comes. Every day, it is good to be filled and controlled by the fruit of righteousness. Notice that the fruit Paul is talking about is singular, but it's manifested in 9 different ways. In Galatians 5:22-23, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, and so forth. The fruit that Paul is talking about, church, is the image of Christ in the believers. He wants that image to be seen in us, that when people look at us, they will see Jesus Christ in us. No matter what Hollywood says, no matter what the world is saying, will be reflectors of the light of Christ in our homes, in the community, wherever we go. It is commanding to note that we will not be offenses until the Lord comes. but it's also be is also commanding to know that we can be fruit bearers. Church, it doesn't matter what is going on at your job, what you are dealing with. You ought to be fruit bearers. You see, like a boat on the sea driven by the wind, so your life should be controlled by the fruit of righteousness. There is never a time that your life should be driven by the fruit of unrighteousness. If we are light, then we ought to be shining that true light in the world, and we should be controlled by the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, wickedness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, dishonesty, jealousy. You don't want these fruits to be seen in your life. And that is why Paul is telling the church that their lives should be driven, should be controlled by the fruit of righteousness. And thirdly, not only should we be without offense and be filled with the fruit of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ, but that we will be filled with the glory of God for the praise of God. Amen? That means in everything we do or say, God should have the glory. Some people are complaining all the time. No wonder why when they come near their friends with that complaining spirit, their friends try to avoid them. They're complaining. The Bible says we should do all things without complaining, showing ourselves to be children of God. This means whatever situation you are going through, instead of complaining, you should be filled with the glory of God to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. The heart of the shepherd. The heart of the shepherd for his flock is that he reveal all these things to the flock so that they will grow in maturity and be the people that God wants them to be. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word has spoken to us. Many times, O God, we find ourselves drifting in sin. But Lord, we thank you for the heart that you have for us. You have that loving heart to forgive us. We've seen the shepherd's heart for his flock. We've seen your heart, O God, for us. And Father, we pray that, Lord, you will help us to be an example for the believers in all that we do and say. And Father, we pray that as we listen to your word, if we have taken some offense, by listening to you, hearing from your heart what you want us to do as a church, Father, we pray that we will go back into Scripture and dig deep and see how you want us to be your image in this dark world. For we thank you, Lord, in this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.